Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen.
I'd like to invite you to come out and be a part of our Passion Play. It'll be taking place on March the 15th, 16th, and the 17th. Special singing every night. It's going to begin at 6 o'clock, and then the play will begin at 7. We've got the Edwards family coming in on Friday night, the Justice family on Saturday night, and then the Reggie Sadler family will be with us on Sunday night, and we look forward to seeing you at the Passion Play at the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church coming up on the 15th, 16th, and the 17th of March. We're going to look today once again at Genesis chapter number 8, and we're studying about the raven and the dove. We've talked about how that they represent two natures, our old nature and then the nature after being born again and saved by the grace of God. This is going to be part four of the message as we go to a live recording from the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church.
So why use a dove to represent the Holy Ghost? Well, the first mention of the Spirit of God is found in Genesis chapter number 1, which it comes in the second verse where the Bible says this, the Spirit of God was moving, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In other words, the Spirit of God was hovering, was brooding, was blowing on that. Oh my, I'm going to tell you, what are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to tell you this morning, amen, that while God the Father created the world, amen, and while the Holy Ghost was there, man, moving upon the face of the waters, he was creating life, amen, within those waters. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm trying to tell you, it ain't too long until the light, the Lord Jesus Christ appears there in Genesis chapter number 1. And the dove came in unto him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off, so Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. This time the dove goes out, and it's returning with some good news. What's it returning with, preacher? It's returning with evidence. Now you hang in there. Listen, I ain't done. Just hang in there just for a minute, another couple minutes. It's returning with some evidence. The Holy Ghost is always throughout our Bible been a picture of a comforter. Now let me paint this picture for you real quickly. There was a storm that covered all the earth. Listen, Noah and his family and all the animals on board the ark, man, were in a place of security. They were in a place of rest, amen, right? However, the rest of the world was being hammered. They were being, you talk about judgment. There was lightning, there was thunderings, there was rain, there was waters, all kinds of things taking place to destroy the world, right? But inside that ark, that place of security, that family was sealed, amen. That family was being taken care of. Notice this, that during the judgment waters, where the dove was on the inside of the ark with Noah. He's a comforter, friend. He's there to help you, amen, in your time of storm, amen. As long as you'll let him on the inside, amen. If you let him on the inside, he'll comfort you in the midst of your biggest trial. How many's been through something? You say, man, preacher, I went through cancer. I've been through hardship. I've been through all these things. But I tell you one thing. God's better now than he's ever been. That's because there's a dove on the inside saying, I'm with you. I'm going to take care of you. He'll be there for you. Thank God while you're going through your hardship. You know this. As long as that dove's on the inside, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Notice this. That comforter, John 14:16 says, praise God. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 14, verse number 26, with the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring you all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, there were some things that the devil was saying after his return flight. He's returning now, and he's got an olive branch. He's returning with some words. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, amen, that the Holy Ghost is coming back, and he's bringing this. He's bringing a word of peace. That olive branch is a sign of peace. Amen. You go look at all of the illustrations. You go look at all the pictures of the olive branch. It's always been a symbol and a sign of peace. Let's take it just a little bit farther. That olive branch pointed us to not just a sign of peace. In other words, the only place you're going to get help is where? Jesus, right? But now this dove is saying, he's starting to introduce to Noah that you can have safety and security in the ark, but there's also peace outside the ark. In other words, I'm going to be with you in the ark, but I'm also going to be with you outside the ark. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Y'all with me? Now, in the mouth of this dove is this branch. Now, the Bible said a tree is known by what it bears, the fruit it bears. So let me give you this picture right here. That was an olive branch which produced olives, correct? Oh, Lord. That points us to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm telling you that over there in Exodus chapter, probably another, I think somewhere around number 27, you've got this olive oil that's been beaten. The Bible speaks about it being beaten. That's how you get the juices out of an olive. You have to stomp on it, amen. You got to beat on it. Amen. That's how it has to be beaten. It has to be squeezed, amen. It has to, all those things, in order for that oil to come forth, that's how you get it out of that olive. That beaten olive. That oil that comes out of that, also a type of the Holy Ghost, was what they put in them bulbs there on the candlestick inside the tabernacle. Right there inside the tabernacle, they'd come over, the priest would come over there with that holy fire, and he'd light that oil on fire. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that the Holy Ghost is the illuminating power. That's what brings it all alive. Amen. If you've been anointed by the oil, friend, that's what's going to keep you a burning. Amen. Jesus, Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane, there when we were in the Holy Land tour, we were standing there in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's a big old olive press there, basically a big old hole in the ground. And they designed it in such a way that they've got it's like a hole in the ground, but they got like a funnel where as they're stomping on them olives, that juice runs. That oil begins to run to a point and they collect it. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, they said that that those trees that's there in the Garden of Gethsemane are over 2,000 years old. I'm telling you, man, the trunks of those trees, man, I couldn't get my arms around them things. They were that large. They weren't very tall, but they were there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible said there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the word Gethsemane means the press. And I want you to think about it for just a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ, I mentioned to you there earlier that this olive branch seems to not just speak of peace and it doesn't just speak of, man, the Lord's, all of those things, but can I tell you, it also refers to the Lord's suffering. There can be no peace without the suffering of the Savior. There can be no peace without the sacrifice. There can be no peace for you and me without the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's there. He's under the weight. He's under the burden. What you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm trying to tell you that holy God, amen, he's 100% God while being 100% man, right? I'm telling you this morning that Jesus Christ, while standing there, is a representative of holy God. Amen. He is God in the flesh. Something's taking place in the Garden of Gethsemane. The whole tenor of the message seems to change when you get to the Garden of Gethsemane. We find nowhere in Scripture, that you'll read about the blood of Jesus. It's the first place where you read about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood's not mentioned at his circumcision. His blood's not mentioned in his life. However, when you get to the Garden of Gethsemane, all of a sudden the blood shows up. Jesus is there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying to God the Father. He's saying, God, let this cup pass. What are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that Holy Ghost, look, there's no way that God could die. No way any man took the Lord's life. That's an impossibility, because he's what brought life to every man. Jesus, listen, Jesus was not murdered. Jesus was not killed. No, Jesus was crucified, and Jesus laid his life down for the sheep, amen. And so there in the Garden of Gethsemane, what you see is this. You see the beginning steps, the beginning stages. The beating is taking place internally. Christ is now giving himself over to death. And he's about to die for the sins of humanity. First time the blood's mentioned, the royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first time it's mentioned, is there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says his sweat became as great drops of blood. That transaction was taking place internally. He's being pressed with the sins and the weight of humanity. I told the men downstairs about the scapegoat in the Old Testament. You had two goats. One was killed, and the blood of the dead goat was placed on the horns of the living goat, on the forehead. And that goat, that was, ooh, one goat died at Calvary. But that scapegoat, man, took the blood, right? Of the innocent. Listen, the innocent took the blood of the guilty. Y'all with me this morning? And the Bible said that they took that live goat outside the camp. Christ was crucified outside the camp. They took Jesus Christ outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem, and he was crucified on the hill called Calvary. That scapegoat was taken outside the camp. And as that goat would pass by the tribes, they'd say something like this: "Our sins are gone. Our sins are gone. Our sins are gone." Amen. And that goat would go out. And somewhere, we don't know, somewhere some ravenous wolf or something would probably take that lamb down. Take that goat down. I'm going to tell you something. Our scapegoat got back up. On the third glorious morning, you said, "Preacher, what's this got to do with the dove?" I'm trying to tell you this. I'm trying to tell you that, amen, that while that dove went out, that dove returned with that olive branch in its mouth. It was referring to this. Hey, the storm is over, amen. The storm is over. It's now, all right, safe to leave the ark. Noah releases her one more time. And the Bible says she never returned back again. He said, "Preacher, what's that got to sign up?" Look, I hope I get this right. The dove wasn't there for the dove. The dove was there for Noah. So as Noah releases that dove, the dove as the leader who does not return back, it's now Noah's responsibility to get everybody that's on board out of the ark and to follow where the dove went. Y'all with me? We are to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost all the time. In the scriptures, in our prayer, in our walk, in our speech, we're to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost all the time. I told the preachers this morning, I said, it is not our responsibility to convict sinners. It's not our responsibility to convert sinners. It's not our responsibility to do any of those things. There's a lot of people that I believe have walked an aisle of a Baptist church or some church somewhere and knelt at an altar and said a few words, and the preacher come by and said, "Amen, you're saved, go home." Right. And they're lost, they're just as lost as the raven is. However, it is 100%. The Holy Spirit's responsibility to convict your heart, to bring you to Christ, to introduce you to a Savior, amen, to point you to the place where you can be regenerated and born again by the grace of God. That's his job. Faith cometh by hearing by the Word of God. He'll help you every time.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.